In his book, Who Speaks for God? Jim Wallace, the founder of the Sojourners Community in Washington, D.C., tells of being mugged one night right outside his home by four kids. They rushed him, slashed his face, and then yelled, "Keep him down! Get his wallet!" I popped up quickly, which seemed to surprise them, he writes. Seeing no weapons flashed, I squared to face my attackers. This was the first chance we had to really see each other face to face. I saw that my assailants were just children, three of them about 15, and one little one who couldn't have been more than 13. The boys backed up a little when they saw I was bigger than they had expected. I'm a strong believer in nonviolence, but have learned that being a weightlifter often helps in these potential conflict situations. The one who had hit me moved into a boxing stance while the others circled. The little guy began attempting some ineffectual karate kicks, which I assumed he had seen on television. I decided to confront them, not intending to hurt them, but only to fend them off. Instinctively, I began to scold these young souls. I told them to stop it, to stop terrorizing people, to stop such violent behavior in our neighborhood. Finally, I shouted at them, "I'm a pastor." And I told them if they wanted to try to beat up and rob a pastor, they should come ahead and take their best shot. I knew that invoking the authority of the church in the streets is hardly a sure thing these days, when our churches often have such little involvement there. Whatever it was that changed their minds, the youthful muggers turned and ran. "Get back here!" I shouted after them, instantly realizing it probably wasn't a good thing to say at that moment. But then something unusual happened. The littlest kid, who couldn't have been more than 4.5 feet tall, turned back and looked at me as he ran away. With a sad face and voice, the young karate kicker said, "Pastor, ask God for a blessing for me." He and his friends had just assaulted me. The little one had tried so hard to be one of the big tough guys, yet he knew he needed a blessing. The young boy knew he was in trouble. I think they all did. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves," Jesus once told his disciples. "Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Of course, our Lord wasn't referring to adolescent would-be muggers when he said that. Instead, his sights were set upon those who knock down with words, whose accusations and pointed fingers try to thwart good news. Supposedly wise people who, unlike that young boy that attacked Jim Wallace, don't know the trouble they're in. As Brother James reminded us last week, it's possible to mug somebody with words. Therefore, we need to become wise in our use of them. Wisdom. "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Brother James asked long ago. A rather pointed question, wouldn't you say? From my experience, the wisest persons I know are the ones who recognize their own foolishness, who realize the limits of their own understanding, who comprehend that what little wisdom they possess is but the size of a tiny mustard seed. However, didn't Jesus have something to say about a comparable amount of faith? "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves," Jesus said. He also told his disciples something else, a reminder of a greater wisdom and strength that would travel with them wherever they went. When facing up against those who seek to mug with words or actions, the bearers of good news, Jesus said, don't worry about how you are to speak, or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That promise remains true for today's disciples. Truly wise people know how foolish they really are, how much in debt they are to a wisdom and a power that is greater than they. Now, I've met Jim Wallace. I've shook his hand. He is indeed a bear of a guy and a powerful speaker. Still, it was foolish to talk as he did on the street that night. It wasn't street smart, not something I'd encourage my children to do, let alone to try myself. Still, his words disarmed a small gang and opened the door to blessing, as topsy-turvy as it sounded at the time. Now, Wallace is no stranger to such things. He has spent much of his life speaking the truth to powerful people who mug with briefcases and laws. Yes, he has walked the streets of Capitol Hill, but he's also traveled the streets of East L.A. and other inner cities, in this latter case seeking to bring an end to gang warfare. Foolish, yet wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wisdom. That's the territory our brother James travels. If you've been with us the last few weeks in our journey down the streets with James, you've heard me describe what he has to say as down-to-earth theology. Now, whoever this James was, whether he was the brother of Jesus, James the Just, a key leader in the Jerusalem church, or just some other James, the writer of these words, which have been by faith passed on to us. These words, this is a rubber meets the road sort of person. He doesn't mince words. He tells them like he sees them and lets the chips fall where they may. It's hard not to like such a straight shooter. He seems to possess solid common sense. As I've been saying, what our brother James tells us often seems to fit us like a comfortable pair of jeans. And yet, so often his words scratch like the Dickens. They itch like heaven. In them, we sense a greater wisdom and power that go beyond James and beyond us. Because of that, this is more than plain old common sense. True wisdom is like that. It's always got a bite to it. Once we think we possess it, that's precisely the moment of our greatest peril. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts, Brother James tells us. That makes sense. Common sense. However, there's more. The further we walk into his words, the more uncomfortable we get. The more it itches, we start seeing ourselves. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom, he says. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Real wisdom, James says, which is God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Well, think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, well, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that He's a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God, and He'll be there in no time. Thanks, by the way, to Eugene Peterson for that paraphrase. Such is the wisdom of our brother James. Now, in the following moments of quiet reflection, as you listen to James's words put to music, think about your own yes to God. How are you living it out? What may need to change? These are especially important questions for this time of year when the crops in the field are being gathered in, a seasonal activity with which our urban and suburban hearts may have grown out of touch. Brother James wisely reminds, however, that a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Have you been sowing wisely? The good news is that it's not too late to start. Do you want to be counted as wise? Then show it by how well you live. Do you want to be understood? Then listen well before you speak. When peacemakers plant seeds of peace, there will be harvest of justice. They will reap in righteousness. So live in the wisdom of God. A heart's jealousy covers the truth and kills under a cloud of words. Such wisdom is not from above. Just live humbly before your God. When peacemakers plant seeds of peace, there will be a harvest of justice. They will reap in righteousness. It's always a isn't it? So live in the wisdom of God. Be pure, peaceable, gentle, and mild. A life characterized by love. Treat all equal as children of God. And then you will be known as seeds of peace, there will be a harvest of justice. They will reap in righteousness. So live in the wisdom of God.
Sisters and brothers, through what you were about to give, as well as through the offerings this week of your time and talents, your listening and speaking, your acts of kindness and expressions of love, your asking and receiving grounded in wisdom and justice. May you plant seeds of God's peace in the world around you.